Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to give our update on COVID-19.
Excellent.
And then we're going to do a whole show on vaccinations. Are they safe?
No.
Right? Because you're getting a lot of questions.
I'm getting an awful lot of questions. So we try to gear the shows towards what people are asking me.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we're kind of staying current.
Right. All right. Well, let's start with an update on the COVID-19. And let's start with good news.
Good news. Always a good place to start.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the best news that we could possibly have is, we don't have to give any more updates on the COVID-19.
Yeah. When
we do that, that will be very exciting. Everybody will say, well, that's the best news I've heard. But there's actually quite a bit of good news.
Good.
There has been, this last week, there was a 22% decline in cases across the United States.
Hmm.
Which is the 9th week in a row that we've had a decline.
That's awesome. 9 weeks in a row.
9 weeks in a row. That's why a lot of...
And we're in mid-March.
Right.
You know, just in case people are listening to this at a different date.
But, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really, really positive type of thing. And something that, a lot of states are taking advantage of. Lifting mask mandates, opening up businesses, trying to get back to normal. And really, with those kind of numbers, that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
In my opinion. Now, one of the things that some of the scientists are saying is that there's an awful lot of people who have gotten the COVID-19, and we might be at herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. basically about 80% of the population. So that is a really, really positive type of information.
Explain what herd immunity means.
Means enough people have it that really the transmission just isn't going to occur. So there's not a lot of risk for that particular virus to be spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody agrees 80% is a good point for herd immunity. So if that could be the reason why we're seeing such a rapid decline. Now, another thing that's really good is that there's a group of COVID-19 people who they call the COVID, the long haulers. In other words, they had all the symptoms, but it's actually staying with them
mm-hmm.
long after they're supposed to have gotten over it.
And they call them the long haulers.
You've
talked about this before.
Right, right. And we've had actually quite a few patients that have come in with that particular problem, which we've treated and had excellent results. But one of the things that that is really interesting, they have no idea why, but people are going in who are long haulers and getting the vaccination, and all of their symptoms are disappearing within a couple of days.
Wow. Interesting.
It's a very interesting thing and something to keep in mind.
So these are people that have had the COVID-19,
right?
But their symptoms just...
Lingered. Oh. Yeah, they had the real terrible fatigue. They had the shortness of breath, digestive problems, all the different types of symptoms that could be associated with that, and really no relief going on. And this actually isn't supposed to happen,
mm-hmm.
but that is something that they're finding quite a few different responses on that. So for somebody who's a long hauler, getting the vaccination might be a real good idea.
Wow. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. So is that all the good news? There was a lot of good news in there.
there was a lot of good news.
Yeah. It's probably the most good news we've had. Since this all started. Okay. So if there's good news, is there some bad news?
Ooh, I wish you wouldn't ask that. But I do have to talk about that. We've got the variants that's coming in. We are talking about the mutations, the variants that have occurred. And Europe went through a rapid decline. Everybody thought everything was doing well. And then the variant hit, where UK variant. And that has actually spread throughout Europe, and the numbers have gone right back up again. Matter of fact, Hungary had the highest levels of cases that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the variant. So one thing that seems to be true on that is even though you had the virus before, you can get the new variant.
Okay.
And it is much more easily spread, and it also causes more deaths than the old one. So, in other words, we could have a second wave going on. We hope that it's not true. It doesn't hit the United States like it did Europe, but we are not really quite sure.
Is the UK variant here in the United States?
It is. That okay. is the one. And the Brazilian one has also arrived in the United States. Mm. Now, it hasn't really spread to the United States, but there are pockets that are showing up. So we're not quite sure how this is going to go. The variant is not also susceptible to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccination, okay. from what they can tell at this point.
What about the Johnson & Johnson?
The Johnson & Johnson does actually work on that one, at least the information that I've gotten so far.
Isn't there a third variant? We got the UK,
oh, yes.
Brazil.
And South Africa. Now, the South African is spreading through Africa. But the Brazilian and the UK is the United States, but we don't necessarily have the that variant in here. Now, there is some more bad news.
Okay.
Now, the vaccinations, so far, they've declared, you know, very, very safe. That, you know, they're very pleased with the numbers. But they do report on something, a group called VAERS, which we'll talk about in the next segment. Mm-hmm. It's a reporting agency on how many injuries and deaths and everything that occurs. From the vaccination, and they have reported 1,637 deaths that were shortly after the vaccination. So that is something that, you know, put that in perspective, when we're talking about the influenza vaccinations that go through, it's only about 50 to 40 usually a year. So this is a much higher number, which is a concern. They are looking into it. Still, at this point, they say that the benefit of the vaccination is much, much greater than the possibility of injury or death at this point, which is absolutely true.
And when you
true.
Say they, is that the CDC?
The CDC and basically, I mean, if you're looking at the numbers, I would agree with them. You know, they're pretty straightforward. But this is a much higher level. And they're looking into it, why that is, so they're really examining it. So we don't really have a question, but trying to make the vaccination safer. That's in the United States. So 1,637 deaths. So, you know, and that is a concern. You know, just make sure that if you have any kind of conditions, anything like that, pharmaceuticals, medications, you know, please check with your doctor beforehand. They also have said do not take over-the-counter medications before your shot. A lot of people were taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or aspirin and other different types of things, you know, just to try to cut down on any type of arm pain or anything like that, you know, before the vaccination. Do not do that.
And how about if you have COVID?
Oh, and one of the things, yes, you are not supposed to get the vaccination if you are sick or have the COVID. That's also a contraindication for getting the vaccination. So one of the things that you should do is probably get a test to see if you have the COVID-19 before you get the vaccination. That's highly recommended because if you do have the virus and get the vaccination, that definitely could put you at definite risk, even if you're a healthy individual. Some people have actually not had any symptoms, but wound up having it and having it could have been related to their demise.
Okay, so it kind of explains. Is there any other bad news?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's good.
Yes, we like that.
So. You've touched on it a little bit, but how are the vaccinations going?
They're going very well. We're getting 2.4 million people getting the shots a day.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. That's really impressive.
Here in the United States.
Here in the United States. Okay. 21% of the population have already gotten at least one shot, which is amazing. And within 11 months, the number of people who are vaccinated should hit 80%.
Within 11 months.
Within 11 months from now.
Okay.
So, you know, less than a year, we should be, in other words, we could have the population pretty well vaccinated, which is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. The Chinese, if they're going at the same rate that we are at this point, it'll be 5.5 years before they get everybody vaccinated. So United States is actually doing a pretty good job in getting that done and getting it out, and they should be able to even ramp it up quicker. So we hopefully this will make a huge difference on whether we can get out and back to normal.
Right. And so the choices for us in the United States, and I'm hearing a lot in other countries, they've stopped. In Germany, they stopped one company vaccination.
But AstraZeneca.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, the choices that we have right now in the United States is Moderna, Pfizer, which are both two shots. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Johnson & Johnson, which is one shot. And the Johnson & Johnson is really the game changer, because they're able to get the numbers out there much, much quicker. Mm-hmm. And it's also easier to store. The whole thing is that, you have to have specialized freezers for the Moderna and Pfizer, which cuts down on the distribution. And then two shots always is harder to get people compliant on that. Now, an interesting thing is that they found that this seems to be quite a bit of good science. If you've already had the COVID-19, and it seems to be that if you get the Moderna and the Pfizer, all you need is one shot.
Oh, interesting.
So that's,
but they're requiring two.
Right now they're saying two, but they're looking into it, because at this point, the immune response is really no difference between whether you get the second one or not. Mm-hmm. So that could be a really excellent. Now they also are looking at AstraZeneca and Novavax as two possibilities that are in the works to get through. But the AstraZeneca is the one that six countries in Europe have stopped.
Is that because?
Too many deaths.
Too many deaths. Okay. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about vaccinations. Are they safe?
Yes.
Be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip, featuring Rapid Release Technology.
Well, let's talk about fascia restrictions. Fascia is kind of like a shrink wrap that surrounds every muscle in our body, and it can become dried out and lose elasticity, leading to more tension and stiffness.
One of the interesting things that they've been doing research, and this has just come out within the last 2 years, is that the fascia is one single organ. It's as much of an organ as your liver, heart, or kidneys. So all the fascia in your body is completely connected with each other and intercommunicates with each other. It's the main thing that determines your posture. Matter of fact, it has a very big effect on the nervous system. So as you can get the fascia back into alignment, it can actually change how the nervous system works. And much of the muscle is controlled by the fascia material. And if you look at the low back, it just covers the entire low back.
Really?
So oftentimes your low back problems is connected to the fascia material. Fascia is really where rapid release comes through. One of my good friends, Warren Hammer, that's his main thing, is fascial. Actually, I introduced him to the rapid release. He came to my office. I was working on him, doing some adjustments. And then I took the rapid release and went over it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What is that?" As soon as he saw the rapid release, it's just revolutionized his treatment. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the main thing he teaches now, is how to release fascia with rapid release.
A lot of people are tight in their glutes. The piriformis syndrome will get them in a prolonged stretch and run the rapid release over that just for a few minutes. Big changes.
Oh, yeah. It, again, revolutionizes fascial release.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the Indy A-List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row.
And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+.
Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Talk about vaccinations. Are they safe? And we're not only talking about the COVID, but vaccinations.
Yeah, in general.
In general.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big question that people are asking me right now. Mm-hmm. And the vaccinations is front and center in people's minds. So I probably can't go, you know, any day with at least, with the least amount of questions I have on that mm-hmm. is four.
Four a day.
Four a day.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm like, okay.
Now you can say, listen to the show.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about how successful have vaccines been?
It's probably the most successful program that on health that we've ever had. Mm. So they've eradicated smallpox. Mm-hmm. They've almost completely eliminated wild polio out in the public. You're talking about a tremendous decrease in the number of measles, diphtheria, whooping cough, and on and on all these diseases, it's just not a major factor. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, whooping cough used to be something that was very serious that every mother was afraid of.
Right.
75% of the kids got it every year, mm-hmm. and a large number died, and a lot of them were injured from it. So it was a constant type of concern, and as parents right now, we don't have those concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, so you look at that. And so you can't really argue against vaccinations, mm-hmm. you know, as a treatment. It's something that, you know, again, has been the most, one of the most successful health campaigns that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. So that same, let's go on.
Yeah, are vaccines safe?
Ah, now, that's where you get into another question. They are... of course, a pharmaceutical, mm-hmm. and they are disease care. Mm-hmm. Now, if you divide up all health care into two different sections, mm-hmm. Disease care and structure function care. You go into structure function care because what you're doing is you're bringing the body back into homeostasis. And that is always a very safe thing because you're always moving it towards the center. So you really can't hurt people really too much with structure function care. That's why it's a great first line of defense, mm-hmm. any type of situation, and always should be tried first. Always when you're talking about pharmaceuticals by their very definition are poisons, and vaccinations fall into that. You have to have poisons within the vaccination to get an immune response. Whenever you have that, there are people who are going to be injured from that. And there are a certain number of people that could die from that. Mm-hmm. Now, not that you just accept that you try to make that better and better, but you cannot get around the issue that there are no safe, completely safe pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole thing is does the risk reward type of thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot more people died from the diseases than from vaccinations or any type of injuries that were associated with that. There's actually no comparison between the two. You know, the death rate and the problems with the diseases far outweighed any of the injuries that have been caused by the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. However, that still doesn't stop that vaccinations generally are safe, but for some people they are not. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's just automatically understood, and something that people need to be aware of, and how to work with that and still get the benefit, but reduce your risk.
And you might have already answered this, but are vaccines 100% safe?
No. Mm-hmm. And that's, and nobody claims that.
Right.
Nobody 100%, claims that.
Right.
No. We never want to go back to the old days. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but we need to understand and continue to make the vaccination safer and safer.
Yeah. So what is the National Vaccine Injury Act?
The National Vaccine Injury Act was in 1986. So basically by the 1970s, most people, kids weren't dying from those diseases anymore. Mm-hmm. But they were noticing, people were coming forward and saying, hey, my child was injured by this vaccination, and people became concerned. So in people's minds, the benefit of the vaccinations, which they didn't really see as necessary, that the risk actually outweighed the benefits for their particular child. Mm-hmm. Which, so they started to, one, question it, and also be aware of those, and actually started to sue the pharmaceutical companies for injuries. And the pharmaceutical companies were actually lost money on the vaccinations because they were paying out so many claims, high-level claims on these. And that
Lawsuits.
So they were saying, hey, everybody, all of the pharmaceutical companies were saying, I'm going to start doing vaccinations. And then, of course, there was the fear that we would go back to the bad old days where diseases were rampant and causing all sorts of, deaths and,
death
and injuries and all sorts of stuff. So President Reagan signed the act in 1986 where that the pharmaceutical companies were no longer liable for the injuries of and the doctors also wouldn't be sued. So they were suing the doctors too, so the doctors weren't willing to do a vaccination. Mm-hmm. So they made it completely exempt for both the doctor, healthcare facility, and for the pharmaceutical company, that they were no longer liable in vaccination claims.
Okay, so then money went into this. This pool, this National Vaccine Injury Act, or
yes.
Was there governmental money? How
there was
that.
What there is there's something called a National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that the government...
There still is?
There still is.
Okay.
So at this point, they've paid out $4 billion.
Since
86. And there for a period of time, they did run out of money. So there was a time that there was no compensation.
I thought that, okay.
But they did refund that, but it's a very difficult type of a road to go down.
Okay.
But so they were trying to compensate, but you are talking, are vaccines safe? Well, the United States government, under very, very strict guidelines, actually some people say is crazily, it still paid out $4 billion. So there are injuries that are occurring. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid out $4 billion. So be aware and be informed. Mm-hmm. These are all considerations that you should take account of.
So what is the vaccine information statement?
Well, what they did is they said, well, we know that there's injuries, but what we're going to do is calculate the risk of the disease versus the, and the benefits of the vaccination and the risk of the vaccinations compared to the disease. Mm-hmm. So they do keep studies on that. And of course, the findings are overwhelmingly that the benefits outweigh the risks. But of course, if it's your child who's injured,
mm-hmm. Right.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, that's something to keep in mind and really evaluating, is this a risk for your child and how can you mitigate those risks in everything?
So you brought this up, VAERS, that stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Right.
VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. What is VAERS?
VAERS is a adverse events reporting. Basically, by law, a doctor has to report an adverse event in a vaccination. So there are laws, or and it has to be within a certain amount of time, and it depends on each different type of thing that occurs. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, as a parent or as an individual, get on there and see what the criteria is for VAERS. Mm-hmm. So if you can just tell them again what that is, because you can actually type it in.
Yeah, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Right.
And I know some places where you get your vaccine will send you a questionnaire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is something that you should be taking part. Because one of the things that they the Human Health Services did a study, how many of the events, adverse reactions were actually being reported. Mm-hmm. And some of the criteria, some of the things was actually as low as 1%.
Ooh, uh-huh.
And the highest was 10%.
Yeah.
So we've got a problem there because the doctors, now I have had patients who've come in and there was a definite reaction with the child. And
the child got a vaccine.
A vaccine, and within 24 hours, they were rushed to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And there was no reporting that was done. Mm-hmm. That's against the law.
Okay. By the hospital or by the...
Correct.
Physician.
By the physician.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is not permissible, and they are required, and there are repercussions if you don't.
Okay. So healthcare providers are required by law.
Required by law, or if any of the adverse problems that are on listed, then also at any time that needs to be reported to, and then they also encourage anyone even afterwards to also report any type of events, that because then they can actually evaluate it, get more information to make things better.
They need that information.
They need that information.
Okay, wow, time is flying.
Yes.
All right. We're going to be back talking about vaccinations. Are they safe?
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I was on the Today Show, Al Roker. Here's Joan Rivers, and she's 78 years young. And you want to go, and here's Al Roker, and he's 320 pounds thin. Edit off.
I have to thank, because I had a very bad cold, I flew over, and I want to thank Dr. Bernard Schwartz from Harley Street, because he got me well this morning. I came in, I said, yeah, I can't do the show. And he said, coffee enemas. And I can never go back to Starbucks, but the point is...
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Well, let's talk about vitamins and minerals that help with stress and anxiety.
The copper-zinc ratio is extremely important, too. If you have an electrical wire, if you put more copper in, the wire runs hotter and faster. If you put more zinc in, it slows down the copper wire. The same is actually true for the nervous system. So if you want to settle down the system, get it more eased up, then you give zinc for people.
Okay.
So we have a lot of people with anxiety disorders that we find a copper-zinc ratio imbalance, get their zinc levels up, and all of a sudden you've got a new person or a new child.
And they can get that checked by doing a hair analysis.
Hair analysis is how you check for the minerals. We also have a NutriVal that checks for the deficiencies in the vitamins, and we can see exactly what's going on along those lines and know, you know, where the deficiency is and how to get that corrected.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, Restoring Hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional-quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with five built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Ring my friend, I said you called up a robber. Day or night, he'll be there any time at all, Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Talking today about vaccinations, are they safe? And Dr. Prather, you were saying in your office at least four times a day, people are asking you.
Right, because the vaccinations are on everybody's minds right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, before we went to break, we were talking about healthcare providers being required by law to report adverse events.
Right.
Everything we're talking about today on the show, you've gotten from CDC.
This is directly
right from the CDC.
Right.
Center of Disease Control. What else you were saying required? Oh, before they give the vaccine, what is required?
Before they give the vaccination, they're also, the physician is required to go over the risks and benefits of the vaccination. Mm-hmm. And also a list of some of the side effects or adverse conditions that can occur. Mm-hmm. After the vaccination, and that they are to let them know so that they can report it to theirs if something occurs. So there should be a sit down going over the whole thing so that the parent is very aware of what the benefits and the risks are.
So make sure.
And when to let the physician know if there is a problem.
Okay. Now, you kind of touched on this, but is there compensation if there is an injury?
There is the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and there have been $4 billion handed out on that.
Okay, and you talked
about
that.
So that is something very real. Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be an impression that vaccine injuries that never occur, or that it's just in people's minds.
Yeah.
And that's the farthest from the truth, and the Center of Disease Control absolutely knows that.
And $4 billion is a lot of money.
And $4 billion is a lot of money.
That was from 1986.
86.
Okay.
And it's very, very strict guidelines.
So we talked about VAERS. It stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Right.
Is there a committee that evaluates the VAERS data?
There is. And that's actually looked at very, very closely. Mm-hmm. They use the VAERS to actually try to improve the outcomes of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is something that that they're working on. And they have a very large research on that. And they do spend quite a bit of money just to constantly trying to improve the vaccination outcomes.
So how are vaccines developed?
Well, there's actually four phases that all vaccines go through. Mm-hmm. Now, it used to take about 10 years for a vaccine to come out. Now, one of the things that has occurred, you know, how quickly these new ones have come out. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely the vaccines that we have right now from Johnson & Johnson, from Pfizer,
Moderna.
Is absolutely incredible science. that they've been able to speed this up. I'm very impressed with what they've been able to do. Mm-hmm. The technology that they did with the Johnson & Johnson is the same one that they were able to get the Ebola vaccine, which was very successful in being stopped. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get it out very quickly, and they were able to get these vaccines out in a very timely type of manner. So it's very encouraging to me, and I'm, and it's amazing what they've been able to accomplish. And they did go through all four phases of vaccine trials before that they're actually still released. In a very short amount of time. So, mm-hmm. And that all has to do with the improvement in science. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is something that has been, I'm very impressed with, and the science behind it is very amazing.
So is there ongoing work to evaluate safety of vaccines?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System is very involved with. Mm-hmm. There's also a vaccine safety data link where they have the CDC works with 9 different healthcare organizations to actually evaluate the vaccinations. There's also the Clinical Immunization Safety Project, the CDC, and then several medical research facilities all work on that to come, you know, and there's quite a bit of money that's constantly being done on vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And the vaccines that are the amount of injuries now compared to earlier so the vaccines are actually safer. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that people are concerned about is the number of vaccines, though. In other words, if you only have like a 0.5% chance of having an injury, but if you're doing 12 vaccines, mm-hmm. 12 times 0.5 is not too bad. Mm-hmm. If you start getting up to 36, then you've got more of a chance. So one of the things is that we do have a lot more vaccinations now. Mm-hmm. So that, even though we've made them safer, there is more of a chance just because there's more of them.
More of them, okay.
And one of the things that I think needs to be looked at is continually improve the vaccinations, but also look on how they're given. You know, oftentimes they're kind of clumped together. And then also one of the things is you really shouldn't be getting a vaccination when you're sick. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different types of factors that can be really done to improve, the outcomes of vaccinations. And, we're looking at all those different types of things. And the CDC does take it very seriously. The federal government does take it very seriously. Obviously, we're talking about our children. Mm-hmm. And they're working very hard on trying to improve the whole outcome of everything.
Okay. Well, let's talk. You know, have you treated patients who had or felt they had adverse health issues with vaccinations?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a very common type of thing why people are coming in. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes a physician can be rather standoffish mm-hmm. on injuries due to vaccinations. Because there is a very strong feeling that if we didn't have the vaccinations, then we'd be going backwards. Mm-hmm. And so it has kind of become sort of a sacred cow. You know, don't mm-hmm. touch my vaccinations because they've done so much for the health of America. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that still doesn't change the situation for an individual, you know, where there is an injury that has occurred. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people who obviously were injured. I can think of several that actually was acknowledged by VAERS that there was an injury. Mm-hmm. We've had a little girl in a wheelchair. We've had one guy who's couldn't use the arm, Guillain-Barré mm-hmm. reaction. There are those that are actually acknowledged. There are those that haven't been acknowledged, mm-hmm. you know, and actually put it through the VAERS and was rejected that it wasn't associated with that. But you couldn't convince the parents of that mm-hmm. in any type of way because they know what they saw. But yes, we have treated quite a few along those lines, and with excellent results.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, let's talk about the role of structure function care. That's what we practice at Holistic Integration. That the role of structure function care with vaccinations. We'll be right back.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure function model. Mm. Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had. Okay. And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results. Mm. They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days. Mm-hmm. They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures. And a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits. Mm-hmm. There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the structure function model as the primary care coming in a 96% satisfaction rating.
Hmm.
And they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about vaccinations. Are they safe? And Dr. Prather, we're going to talk about structure function care. And maybe just give a definition of that. We might have some new listeners.
Sure.
The FDA puts healthcare, you know, they've got the disease care model and a structure function care model. If you could define those real quickly.
Of course. Structure function care is where you're bringing balance back into the body.
Mm-hmm. Homeostasis.
Yes. Balance is called homeostasis, and homeostasis is the definition of health. Mm-hmm. So the more that your body can be in that perfect balance, both structurally, that's where the chiropractic comes in and rehab and all that, and then also functionally, which is physiology. And there is a perfect balance that you can achieve. And the closer you are to that, the healthier you are. Disease care is where you have, diseases. Mm-hmm. That's where you get into all the different types of things that are going on. Cancer, cardiovascular, all those. And that is treated by pharmaceutically.
Mm-hmm. Or
surgical. Mm-hmm. Shot, vaccinations, of course. Mm-hmm. Those are all classified underneath that. And the structure function care does not treat diseases. That's one of the things that the FDA and the healthcare authorities really want to make sure that that's made clear. Mm-hmm. And I agree with them. We don't treat diseases. What we do is we get people healthier. Mm-hmm. And we believe in a division in the in those two. 80% of all care, we believe, should be structure function based. 20% should be disease care based. Mm-hmm. So, and the two should work together, an integrated type of model. Now, at our office, we don't do disease care. What we do is structure function care. And as we get into that, we really try to keep ourselves along those lines and not really cross into what would be considered disease care.
Mm-hmm. Refer out to that.
Oh, yeah.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where the integration comes in.
Mm-hmm. So what is the role of structure function care with vaccinations?
Well, we don't do vaccinations, first mm-hmm. off, mm-hmm. because that would be getting into disease care, which, that's not our specialty. That's right. Not what we do. Also, one of the things as you are in structure function care, I'm not really, or our office really gives, advice along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we say, well, you need to go to your disease care doctor and talk about, go over the risks and benefits. One of the things we do say is that that we know that vaccinations have really turned, have been one of the best successes of the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no doubt about that. You can't really argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also let them know that there are risks and that your doctor should go through the risk and benefits. And if there is an adverse reaction, that doctor who administered the vaccination should report it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we do point them in that direction and work along. And people always ask me, well, should I get my children vaccinated? And I said, well, that's a big question that people ask. I mean, people mm-hmm. are asking me all the time about the COVID. And I said, I let them know, legally, I'm not really, mm-hmm. that's not my area.
Mm-hmm.
But I do tell them whether they're at high risk or low risk.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just go through basically what are the risk factors and what are the benefits, try to get some of that around there. But I don't give advice on whether they should get a drug or a vaccination because mm-hmm. I'm not in disease care.
Yeah, makes sense.
I try to keep in my own lane, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of answered this, but I want to make sure. What help can you give to parents who struggle on whether to vaccinate or not?
Now that's actually a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have had parents who came in. An example is I had a mom come in, and she had gone through the vaccinations, not really even concerned about it.
For her children.
For her child.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually an adopted child. And the baby wound up in the hospital that night that had the vaccination. It was pretty touch and go. Mm-hmm. And he made it through. But it really took a while to recover. And so she was really scared. And the time for the next vaccination came up. And she said, well, I'm not going to do it because of the adverse reaction that occurred. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, it was determined that there was no connection. And you couldn't convince her to save her life that there was no connection, which I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but she had to get him vaccinated because it was an adopted baby.
Oh, okay.
She had no choice. Mm-hmm. So I had a very tearful mom who was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nice things is that there are actual programs that we do that help to boost the immune system, settle down on a lot of the adverse types of things. Mm-hmm. Again, what we're looking at is homeostasis. Why is it that certain children have reactions and some children don't? That's because they're not in a homeostasis. Okay. They're overreactive. There's different things like that. Mm-hmm. So there are very set types of things that we do to bring the body back into homeostasis so they have a normal reaction to the vaccination. So we did 2 weeks of preparation for the child before the vaccination. Child went in, got the vaccination, came back, we checked them again. There wasn't even a fever.
Mama was happy.
Mama was happy. Now, I have just to take that on a, and that happens quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So they know, well, like there was one mom who actually felt that there was a permanent injury to one of her children. She didn't want to get any of the other children vaccinated. We were able to put the kids through the program. We're able to do the vaccinations without any problems. Mm-hmm. I had one lady who said that she was at very high risk for influenza. She had some different types of health issues.
She was older.
Older.
Okay.
Yeah, she was an older lady, and she said, the last 2 years I got the flu shot, I was in bed for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, they say I have to do this because of my health risk. I understand that, but I don't want to be in bed for 2 weeks. I said, let us work with you. Mm-hmm. So she took some products that we have. She went in for a shot. She said, there wasn't even a problem afterwards. There wasn't any downtime. There wasn't any type of an issue. And it was just a matter of getting the body prepared, being able to handle the toxins, getting the proper types of nutrients that
being
help.
Being healthy.
Yeah, just there are some certain things that really make a big difference on how you respond to that. And really didn't have any problem. And that's where you're really talking about trying to get the integration of the disease care, which is doing amazing things. I think we have the best disease care in the world, but we have the worst outcomes because we don't have the structure function to keep the homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good marriage along those lines.
So what can be done to possibly reduce risk, the risk of vaccines?
Well, one of the things is to be in really good homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need to get some good blood work. You need to check and see what your health status is. And then get yourself healthier, and you aren't going to have the reactions to the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And as we do that, then we can see a real reduction of a lot of the adverse types of conditions. It's just like when we're talking about, the whole COVID-19. One of the things that they know of that they've actually proven is that if people's vitamin D levels are normal, that there's an 85% reduction in hospitalizations, morbidity, and mortality. 85% reduction. Can you imagine if we had done that for those 450,000 people who died? Mm-hmm. If we would have just been checking their vitamin D levels. Mm-hmm. But the zinc also has a play its role. Vitamin A play. I mean, in other words, a lot of these different types of things are very easy things that can be improved on and fixed, and we can get much better outcomes in the disease care model because we are doing the structure function along with it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we have a minute left. One question. What should be done if an adverse event occurs from a vaccination?
Well, one of the most important things is actually the CDC really wants to make sure that that's reported. Mm-hmm. So the reporting is one of the most important things that can be done. Make sure that you get checked out by a medical doctor. But one of the big things I would say is that you need to get checked out structure function. Mm-hmm. You need to because really that's where a lot of people are getting relief that's involved with a lot of the injuries that are associated with that. All the people that we've ever treated that had adverse events with the vaccinations have all improved under good structure function care.
Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.